Record, and now we decide which episode we're actually going to do.
The squiggles are a squiggling. I thought we would cyberverse it first.
Yeah. Okay. We'll start with...
Since we did start that.
That is a big case of this shouldn't take long.
No. Mm-hmm. All right. Hello and welcome to Stasis Pod, the Transformers Cyberverse podcast. I'm Rob.
I'm Jen.
And I'm David. Here we go again.
That's right. Back after
seeking
some technical difficulties, we have an infinite vendetta, much like the infinite vendetta I now have against my internet service provider.
It's not cool. It's not cool. You need the internet. It's important.
It's true.
Can't just not have internet. You'll die.
It's true.
Somehow.
So this first aired November 16th, 2019. It is the 11th episode of Cyberverse Season 2, written by Zach Atkinson. And we open, we're sort of got parallel scenes of both the Autobots and the Decepticons. They're both trying to figure out, how we're going to get Starscream, who's out on a, insane rampage.
Yes, doing his whole thing.
Yes. And sure enough, they are both attacked. Obviously, they could Starscream.
Of course.
But in fact, the Decepticons are being attacked by Jetfire. And the Decepticons are being attacked by Skybite.
It's just these randos have shown up because it's time to sell some toys.
This is very much like Bob Budiansky has just been told by Hasbro that he's got to sell two new toys in the new issue.
Yes. You have to put these two in this new issue.
Maybe they're enemies, I guess. Sure, Bob. Works for me.
All right.
Enemies to lovers? Okay. We have justice-seeking Jetfire and the sinister Skybite.
Yep.
Sailing through the skies.
Now, of course,
is just the Tick. I mean, it would be funnier if he was more actually the Tick. That would be great.
Yes. Mm. Of course, we have already had a Transformer who is the Tick.
Yeah, well, yes. That's true. That's
who
true.
Also sounded like the Tick.
Yes.
So, it might not seem that these two are natural enemies, but as anybody who has seen West Side Story can tell you, the Shark and the Jet are, in fact, natural enemies.
Oh, yeah. As last time we were trying to record this, when you pointed that out before your internet took you away.
Yes. In fact, apparently that gag was so bad that the internet, my internet provider was like, nope, shut it down.
Because I was cursing after you pointed that out.
It's like, get him off.
The fuck?
Get him off.
Yeah.
Take it down.
Now, our AI has predicted a significantly high percentage chance that he's going to start singing show tunes after this. We got to shut this down. I just had to play it cool, boy, real cool.
All I know is snapping. I don't know anything about that musical.
The Jets are gonna have the way tonight. It's actually my favorite musical.
Oh,
wow!
Okay.
Nice. Yeah. I don't know if I have a favorite musical.
Oh, I definitely.
I know a lot about bear safety because I'm the other kind of gay person, the kind who knows too much about bear safety, and not musicals.
I used to know some of the songs of the Modern Major General for some goddamn reason, though I don't know if I've ever seen that movie.
I have a Subaru and I know too much about bear safety. I do not do the musicals.
Oh, my parents, or maybe it was my grandparents, had a record of the Dr. Doolittle movie, the original one.
Ooh.
So some of those are probably stuck in my head.
I feel like that's Dick Van Dyke. Is that actually Dick Van
Dyke?
No,
that was a
shitty actor.
Rex Harrison.
Yes.
That was actually the movie that kind of it was the death knell for the big studio musical.
Oof. Yes!
That seems unfortunate.
Because really what they were...
I think I know what probably would be my favorite musical if I listened to it more.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not really a musical, but it's totally a musical. Epic.
Mm-hmm.
Epic, which...
That cartoon movie from, it was CG?
No,
from,
it's...
like, 15 years ago?
No. It's somebody online wrote a Odyssey. Is it Odyssey or Iliad? The one with the Scylla and Charybdis and the Cyclops and all that.
The Odyssey.
Yes. Made a musical out of that online, and people have animated it, and I really like the songs. So it's not actually a musical. It's never been put on as a musical. It only exists as a series of songs, which is like 3 hours long.
I thought you were going to say Phantom of the Paradise.
That would be a very niche thing to call out.
I don't remember the music in that movie. I've seen the movie a couple times. I don't remember any goddamn songs.
And also, of course, if it had more songs, you could probably put down Streets of Fire.
Ooh, yeah.
I need to watch that.
It's a couple songs short of being a musical.
Yeah.
But it seems like something that could easily be a musical.
Mm-hmm. It kind of should be. I mean, you just need to give Rick Moranis a song and you're most of the way there.
Anyway, so yeah, these guys are like ancient foes, and Optimus is all, hey, Jetfire, how is it that you live? I thought that you died in Transformers Generation 2, number 12.
It is kind of that vibe.
I do love that, like, the backstory they tell involves being caught in a supernova, not dying in it, although everybody thought they died, and destroying 7 civilizations.
Yes.
Holy crap. I think there are 2 important points here. One being that, of course, they left Jetfire for dead. That's kind of what they do to him. That's what happens. And the other thing is, like, okay, so, like, Dark Phoenix destroyed 1 civilization, and she had to die by editorial edict. This guy has destroyed, like, he's committed 7 genocides, and we're just like,
at least 7.
Ha-ha, look at this guy.
It was 7 civilizations in that supernova. They did other crap.
That's a lot. That's a lot. I'm just thinking about, like, in IDW, how the Galactic Council hates Cybertronians, and, like, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, because these things happen.
Yeah, like, that's why.
Because they'll accidentally wipe out 7 distinct separate civilizations in a petty fight and walk away.
That's not a thing that you just say and leave it on the table. That's like,
no.
What the hell?
It's like the biggest lore dump in this entire series, and it's a throwaway gag. Oh my god!
About Skybite.
Yeah, Skybite of all people.
About the flying shark who likes to do haiku.
Does he only do 1 in this episode?
Only does 1 in this episode, but I guess it's a short episode.
Yeah.
As they're all short episodes.
Because he should have introduced himself with 1, because he only does a haiku at the very end, which I only figured out was a haiku because it grammatically made no goddamn sense. It's like, oh, wait, he's doing a haiku.
Anyway, so they can't find the guy they're looking for at the bases they're attacking, so they... So they both go to their actual bases. At which point, you know, they're welcomed by their old pals. And Jetfire is all, LOL, did you let Hot Rod drive the Ark? Which is why it's a
Fair.
So they finally come back to her, and they're like, hey, can you help me destroy my enemy? Both like, we kind of got like other stuff to do right now.
There's a lot going on. I mean, to be fair, he is enlisting their help with someone who destroyed... who committed 7 genocides.
Yes. What?
Starscream has not even successfully committed 1 that we're aware of. But I guess more important to deal with the threat that's in front of you versus the threat that has already happened.
Anyway, so they go off, and then they fight each other again. And then they just end up knocking each other out, crashing into the ground. And then they're found by Starscream. Yes. And speaking of lore dumps, once again, Starscream is Jetfire's old pal.
Of course. Yep. I mean, it's a default.
Time for that. Time for my old friend, Starscream.
Have we had a series that's had Starscream and Jetfire that hasn't had them friends at some point?
I do not know if that happened. Did that happen in
Unicron Trilogy?
Wait, I think that did happen in.
It did?
No, it did not happen. It did happen in that, what's it called? The War for Cybertron thing, yeah. Though, right?
I feel like saying that was a very different Jetfire in Unicron Trilogy, but that's mostly just because he's got an Australian accent, and so there's part of my brain that's like, no, that is just a different character with the same name, even though that's a completely unreasonable criteria for determining a character to be a separate character with the same name.
Yes, as evidenced by recent events.
And so,
just having accents.
Having accents you never had before.
So Jetfire's like, you know, we're not friends anymore. And Starscream's like, oh, well, what if I gave you a new accessory that would help you beat Skybite?
Starscream is back to trying to sell people on his weird armor death cult.
Yes.
Yeah, like, he's being, like, double dealer and sort of an arms dealer, cult leader. Not Starscream's doing a lot of odd shit in this series.
Yes.
He's like, but what if I give you this weird armor? It's like, I don't know that that's going to make a huge difference, but okay.
And yet they both say yes, because he does this to Skybite too. So Jetfire has like this tank thing, and then Skybite, of course, has the ever popular drill tank.
Yes. Stupid drill tanks.
I think it's
not a real thing.
I regret never getting that toy, because it's just such a silly concept. And it's another Skybite.
Always gotta do the drill tanks. They're not real.
So they both like capture the opposing enemy leader, and they capture them, and then they're gonna do like a big Colosseum death match.
Oh yeah, because they wait. Who is it? Oh, it's Megatron that suggests.
It's Megatron's idea, which makes sense.
Where they're gonna fight? They decide to fight in Godzilla's cat bed in Rome.
Yes.
Yeah.
For some reason.
Well, because that's where you fight. That's where you have your gladiator battles, in the Colosseum.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it's nostalgic in a way for Megatron, but they're going to wreck it.
They don't care. It's not their history. It's not their civilization's history.
Yeah, Optimus doesn't complain much about that. Well, he's got shit going on, but...
Yes. So, yeah, they have this fight. It is a reasonably cool fight. We are definitely selling these new toys.
Mm. Yep. Go get those toys, kids. They're on the shelf now at Target.
Oh, they were. That Jetfire toy doesn't look great, though.
It does not. And, yeah, eventually, you know, Skybite's pretty beat up. He ends up doing a header into some lava. Mm. And... So Jetfire's going to finish him off, and Optimus, of course, has to be all, listen, this cartoon is rated Y7. You can't just execute him.
Even if he did commit 7 genocides.
I don't care how many broccoli people he killed.
Oh, good old broccoli people.
So they both end up kind of limping back to their respective factions, and this time they both know where to find the Allspark, because they know where Starscream is.
Yep. Oh!
Dun, dun, dun!
Rewinding to the beginning of this episode, Infinite Vendetta, has no emoji on YouTube.
Oh, no emoji.
Which is weird, because like, last time it happened, it was that... long ass titles like gotta get the spark of Optimus Prime or whatever it was.
Right.
So it made sense like they left off an emoji that time, but
have like the crossed swords or something.
Yeah.
Or a jet or a shark.
Anything. It's like
Or a jet shark.
All right, so that now brings us to the next episode and seemingly the conclusion of this whole Starscream plot.
Even though we have how many episodes left in the season?
We have 4 episodes left after this.
As I have said, Cyberverse does not actually have any idea. It has no concept of when seasons begin or end.
Nope.
There's just a story, and when it's done, it's just continues to the next thing, and if that next thing gets interrupted by a season break, so be it.
Now, listen, the Cyberverse writers can't control when the seasons begin or end.
Apparently.
Because they use those special parts to make their robot friends.
Fair. It is about robots, so it applies.
Scrap, let roll call.
I'm different.
So yeah, I don't know what is going on with the pacing for the meta plot in this series.
No.
Oh, what? Damn it. Every once in a while I have the idea of like some tinkering to make some neat little thing. And every once in a while it's like, oh, I should make a Transformer Muppet? Scrapplet Muppet.
Ooh.
They'd be so good because it's all mouth. That'd be easy.
Well, let's just say the meta plot of this show is that the writers of this show never met a plot they didn't like.
They're just going to shove it in there and keep going. It's okay. The thing that makes me super angry doesn't happen until season 3.
Oh.
If you recall, there's a thing that makes me super angry.
I remember there was a thing. I found out what the thing was, and it annoyed me, but I forget what it was. Yeah, I stumbled upon it, or you spoiled it, or something. But I've forgotten since.
I don't know. So it might have been a different thing then. I think the only I did speak it aloud at TFCon Baltimore, which you were not at. So, so mad.
So Acid Storm, who is girl moding in this episode, has.
Title
of the episode.
Oh, right. Sorry. Yes, this is I Am the Allspark.
And strange emoji I had to look up. What the frick? It's like a diamond with a circle in the middle.
Maybe it's supposed to look like the Allspark?
It's as close as you can get emoji-wise, but why does that emoji exist in the first place?
That I don't know.
Right. I have no idea what it's for.
Magic. I'd have to look it up.
Yeah. So this is the 12th episode of season 2 of Cyberverse. First aired November 23rd, 2019. Written by them legend May Cat.
Yay! Ooh. Needed to be doing more season 2 of Earthspark, because man, that derailed.
Oh dear.
They did some good stuff in season 1, and then, again, there was the whole writing thing. Which, brief aside, David, did you finish watching the last couple episodes of Earthspark season, whatever it is?
The first of the two movies things, and I got to the part that they gave Hot Rod a really weird voice.
Yeah.
He has a southern accent, and it feels and a just, deep voice.
It's just
it
a
feels...
little bit of a twang on, but it's the depth that's really like.
Yeah, it's not a bad voice. It just does not at all feel like a voice I would ever pick out for Hot Rod.
Because I know you're not caught up with it the way I am, but I feel like I need to vent at someone about that during the news pod.
Oh yeah, we'll do that. But I watched like the first 2 or 3 episodes, and then I just watched the second to last thing that's come out. And I just haven't watched the other one yet. And it's like, it's just, what?
What?
And I will probably have things to say about animation of the series, but that can wait until we eventually do get to it. Because things about it bug me, and it's hard to explain why.
A show that does have a good Hot Rod voice, though, is Cyberverse.
Yeah.
I thought that you were going to say, Transformers, The Last Night.
oddly, a French accent makes more sense for Rodimus than a Southern accent to me.
It's not even...
because it feels like something he's faking.
It's honestly, it's just like a little tiny, it's like a Southern accent like mine, yeah, that's like you've actually tried very hard to avoid, which is funny because it's not like the voice, I don't think Eric Bauza normally has a Southern accent. But yeah, so it's weird. It's real weird.
It's like, this is a long digression.
He's got a twink body. He needs a twink voice.
Right, like, it would make more sense if, like, he was trying to cover a Southern accent. He used a Cybertronian Southern accent, and he only switched into that when he was, like, agitated, but as his
but
normal,
it doesn't work. The depth of it
it's also deep. It's, yeah,
it's distressingly deep. It's not...
It doesn't
not
work.
Okay. Anyway, I need to rant about some things in that later.
Yes.
And, of course, we will be getting to Earthspark eventually on the show.
Someday.
Yeah, because...
Someday.
Yes.
We got to finish this show. We have more Rescue Bots Academy to switch back and forth to. There's...
We got to do Bot-Bots.
Bot-Bots. Yes. Bot-Bots is going to be short.
Bot-Bots is fun, course, but it is short.
Yes. And, of course, we'll get Cyber World in there. An episode that actually does have a Cyber World in it.
Ooh.
Like, the show title does make sense. There is a cyber world.
David, yeah,
cyber
you should...
Cyber world will be...
You should, you should DM me with what you think is the thing that I'm really angry about, just so I know if it's correct or not.
Was it in the first movie episode or the second one?
No, I mean the Cyberverse thing, the season 3 Cyberverse thing.
I said I forgot. I found out what it was, and I've fucking forgotten.
Oh, okay. Well, then it's probably not that, because you would never forget this.
Oh, man. David is Sean Connery in Medicine Man here.
Everyone...
I found the cure for cancer, and I lost it.
Everyone will be extremely upset about it, but no one will be more upset about it than me. I'm just going to say that.
All right, so speaking of people being upset, the Seekers have finally, like, hacked into this, into Vector Sigma to send its programming into the AllSpark. So now it's now shooting a beam into Starscream, and he's got, like, total AllSpark power.
Yeah, he starts performing miracles for his cult.
Yes. And for his first trick, he'll make their souls disappear.
He's just going to start the day with some murder. Just straight up murder.
I really like the effects for this, and like their outlines. Just while Starscream starts glowing blue, everyone else is as red as he does stuff to him. That's neat.
All of the glowing effects are really interesting.
Yeah.
But yes, it's time for the Kool-Aid. It's time to put on your Nikes and go to bed.
Also, the combination of the solid blue and the red translucencies makes me think of something that is near and dear to Jen's heart. Which is, of course, the poster for the movie Crimson Peak.
Yes! Yeah, I can see that. I can see that. I actually had to, last weekend, I had to inaugurate my new QLED, mini LED TV with Crimson Peak, because it's a very color-heavy display technology. And I was like, what movie do I know of that uses color really well? That I happen to own on a 4K disc.
So, again, I feel that this show is not quite equipped to handle the tone of...
a murder cult?
This soul-eating.
You know?
A death cult? Yeah, not really. I mean, no more than it's equipped to handle a throwaway line about a guy... destroying 7 civilizations.
Yeah.
A funny shark man destroying 7 civilizations.
Remember when this was a show about Bumblebee having lost his memories and him learning lessons to get them back?
I'm pretty sure there was an episode where they went to like a sporting event. Of course, that was also like an episode after... an entire planet was killed by cosmic rust. Something that was never mentioned again, nor will ever be mentioned again, I believe.
Well, the cosmic rust, or I think I lost the plot there because I was thinking about Jim Shooter. Are we talking about the G1 episode with the Cosmic Rust, or
no, the Cyberverse episode with the Cosmic Rust?
Right, that episode was the one that I was ranting for a while about, the just like utter, just whiplash,
utter devastation.
The show's it's got a bit of a tone issue.
The wild tonal whiplash. Fucking Jim Shooter, man. R.I.P. R.I.P. Jim Shooter. There is the, as a brief aside, I was listening to the Cerebro podcast episode about Mariko Yoshida, and how part of the whole thing in the Wolverine, the original Wolverine story, where she was, like, married off to some guy and, like, Wolverine was gonna murder the guy, was just John Byrne really trying to force Jim Shooter to let him kill somebody. To make him make a hero kill somebody. And I'm like, there are no good guys in this story. There's the guy who is being a moral hardliner, and also the guy who's trying to argue that heroes should be able to murder. And there are no good guys in that story. Anyway.
And then there's Chris Claremont, a man who just wants to be left alone to be horny on man.
So horny. So horny. But yeah, you can't just, like, have a it's gonna drive me crazy forever. Just this little one-off line about how he destroyed 7 civilizations, and then we move on with the plot.
Uh-huh.
So the Autobots, thanks to Jetfire, now have Starscream's location. But unfortunately, the Decepticons, thanks to Skybite, now have that location as well. And even more unfortunately, now Starscream is there too.
Mm. Yay!
So he's got full Allspark power. You know, all the Autobots and Decepticons attacks are like the buzzing of Flystand.
Yes. However, Megatron is going to try being emotionally abusive.
Yes.
God, he's so good at it.
He's just going to try the emotional attacks.
Oh, I loved it. Because, like, Starscream has, like, lifted everyone off the ground. They're glowing. He's about to rip their sparks out. And Megatron's all, why? You are Starscream. You will fail. You always have and always will.
It's what you do.
That pisses Starscream off so much.
So, yes, Megatron is going to try the approach of being emotionally abusive.
And also being honest.
Kids, bullying works.
Fair.
Megatron has seen other Transformers series.
True. It didn't work when you got the Underbase. It didn't work when you got the War World. It didn't work in that, like, Combiner Wars thing where you were, like, a screaming head, or I kind of, to be honest, Starscream, I kind of skimmed through that one. I read the summaries on TF Wiki. It didn't sound very good.
Oh, hey, in theory, we could go back to them.
I do have them downloaded. I mean, they're on YouTube until someone decides to take them off of YouTube, but I mean, they're officially up on YouTube, but I've heard that, like, the official Hasbro channel uploads for G1 have gotten weird and missorted lately, so.
Dear.
Oh, well, because they keep running marathons of the dang things, they probably scuttled something or other.
Back things up while you can. Mm. For the archives.
For the archives.
So, once again, Optimus Prime decides that, well, you know, it does appear to be our darkest hour, so, unfortunately, I have the touch. I have the power.
Yeah. My notes for this do also say he had the touch and also the power.
Sadly, Stan Bush was not in the budget here. He does zap the Allspark out of Starscream with the power of the Matrix, which, because the Matrix is, of course, the Transformers' ultimate episode is, you know, 2 minutes till end of episode button.
A story reset button.
I don't understand why it's so hard for them to get the rights for the touch to things. Like, I don't know. I mean, I guess
I
Stan Bush wants money, but
I could see Cyberverse not having the money, but other shows, I feel, would have had the money.
You know. EarthSpark really should have had the money, because there was a part at the end of one of the seasons where they, I think the end of the first season, where they had genuinely intended to have it, and then, like, they didn't have the money. It's like, that's what crazy. Do you mean? How much could Stan Bush possibly want?
I mean, listen,
Devastation got it. I guess they paid him money. It's because it's a full remix.
Also, Hasbro's using that enough. They might as well just, like, buy it.
Yeah.
Like, we'll just buy the rights.
And I don't know why they haven't.
I know. It's crazy.
Anyway.
It's like, Hockey Night in Canada was, like, Canada's big, you know, that's Canada's, like, flagship Saturday night hockey broadcast. Yeah. It had a very distinctive theme. Mm-hmm. And then it came around, like, in the, like, 2000s. The woman who composed it back in the 60s, the lease or whatever was up, and she, you know, wanted a little more money for it. And the CBC, who had broadcast it for decades, said no. And so their competitor for hockey broadcasts, TSN, just bought the whole thing. So now they own that piece of music, and CBC can never use it again. Oh, no. Oh, you're kidding me.
Uh-oh.
You're kidding me. You're kidding me.
Please, no!
Please. No, no way.
Not internet again.
Better not.
No, kid. No.
Or his mic died. Shit.
You are kidding me.
I'm just sitting here dismantling things that were on my desk.
I'm just transforming some beast blocks.
Is he still connected? Beast blocks.
Yes, like last time.
So could be the mic. Rob, if you're still connected, we cannot hear your mic.
Yeah.
That would be deeply unfortunate if the internet just went out both times.
Yep.
Doo-dee-doo-dee-doo. Dismantling knives. For fun.
I don't know if it's more or less annoying that we're almost done with this episode.
Then we need to do the Patreon.
Yeah, we do need to do the Patreon.
Because we need to have...
But I guess we can do that at some point during the week.
Yeah, I can't.
Oh, you're busy?
I have a job.
Yeah,
I'm busy having a job.
Right, because we probably won't be able to get Rob free really late at night. Yeah. Shit.
There he goes.
Crap!
Well, let's give him a minute and see. Knives. I was at a store today with knives. I went to the knife store yesterday. It's right next to the place with the Gundams.
Well, of course it's right next. It's knives from Trigun. It's anime related.
Man, I wanted that G-Fred, but it was not a night for buying things for myself.
No.
Not even the G-Fred. But yeah, they had that. Also, the guy at the shop said he hadn't actually heard anyone say it out loud yet, the G-Quux out loud, so I got to tell him how G-Quux was pronounced. Do we have Rob back?
Hello?
Can't hear you. There you go. Now I hear you.
At least you came back. Okay.
All right.
Although, now it's making me wonder if it's not your microphone, it's not your Audacity, it's not your computer at all. It's fucking outside forces that are fucking with your audio.
All right, I will put down my NECA stuff. I had continued recording, so...
I'm still recording, so...
Figure out where you were. We were talking about them having the touch and also the power.
Okay. So, yeah, so Optimus Prime has used the touch and or the power. This has tired him right out, but it has also zapped the AllSpark out of Starscream. So now Megatron grabs the AllSpark. He's like, well, while I'm here, I'll kill Optimus Prime.
Guess this is mine now.
But then, so he ends up fighting the Autobots, and also the Scraplets are now masterless and are just going on a killing rampage.
They're just gonna run around, doing their thing, checking things out.
Oh!
Eating things.
There's... Rewind a second. Before we lost Robin, had to bring him back. The way Optimus unleashes the Matrix is very much Mazinger Z breast fire.
Ooh.
Yeah, yeah. He definitely just, like, has it in his chest and shoots it out of his chest.
And there's a lot of glowing.
Glows, shoots from chest, glowing and crashing into things.
Mm. Oh, yeah, but as the Scraplets are going mad, Shockwave has learned a lesson and weaponizes them.
Yes. But because Grimlock is, he's able to lure them into a massive chasm. So they just end up plummeting to their doom.
Aw, but they were so cute. Vicious and deadly, but cute.
Yes.
It is kind of weird that Grimlock is the one that basically just throws Megatron into hell.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, okay. And also Skybite.
I mean, that was kind of his thing in like the old Generation 1 cartoon. You know, he'd get like chucked into a chasm or something, and then like right before the credits, you'd get him like poking his head out of the lava, and it's like, "I shall be avenged.
I shall be avenged."
And then there'd be like a music sting, and his eyes would light up.
Yep,
as if he's Skeletor from a movie. Yeah, the good Skeletor from a movie.
From the good movie.
To future-proof this.
I mean,
well, the movie might be good. The Skeletors is gonna suck.
Yeah, because it's Jared Leto.
You know, I think it might help if we're not looking at his like his dumb Jared Leto face the whole time, because he's gonna be a skull.
Yeah, that might help. That might help a little bit.
Okay, how much you want to bet money that at the end of the movie he gets some MacGuffin power that gives him skin back on his face?
I don't think. I mean, the whole thing is he's Skeletor. He's kind of a skull face.
Yeah.
Otherwise, he's just a
blue... But it's Jared fucking Leto.
He's just a blue guy otherwise.
Morbius!
I mean, he had, like, a Morbius face for a lot of that movie.
I'm just betting we're going to get very low full skeleton face.
Well, I mean... It's possible I will be paying more attention to Alison Brie as Evil Lyn anyway.
Yeah, same.
Yes, I hope she's on screen a lot. Please.
So anyway, the season's over, right? This is clearly the point where the season's over.
Yep. So you know, we've got Starscream. We've not killed because again, this is TVY7, and Cheetor's got the Allspark, and we're gonna bring Starscream to justice. And also those Seekers from the beginning are just, they're just dead now.
Yeah, it's a good thing we had so many of them, because...
R.I.P. all of them.
Yeah, that's it. Actually, according to the wiki, we have 6 episodes left.
6? Oh.
What? Oh.
So this basically was a mid-season. That's weird.
Not really, because...
I mean, we do have 6 episodes left.
Well,
it's crazy.
A little bit after, but...
This was, I guess it was episode 12 of 18.
Yeah, we're two-thirds our way through the season, so I don't know what's going to happen the rest of the...
There's no additional simmering background meta plot going on here. It's just, like I said, Cyberverse is just the plot arcs are completely random. Yep. Seasons just begin and end with no one's control.
Yep. Especially since the final season is 26 episodes long.
Yeah, I would like to point out that in the next season, it's 26 episodes long. Episodes 14 through 17 are a multi-parter called The End of the Universe.
Ooh. And that's not the season. That's not the season or series finale.
No. It's just a lump of episodes in the middle. Yeah, it's a whole thing. It's a problem. It's a problem. I'm sure I could look up who the story editor is, but yeah. Curse their name. Cast blame upon them. But, yeah, because that's what the like, story editor's job is, like, wrangling the meta plot is,
yeah,
like, the whole thing. But, nope.
No. All right. Well, that is it for this episode of these episodes of Cyberverse. It seems like a season finale. It's not quite equipped to deal with the heaviness of the subject matter, but there's some cool stuff in here.
Yeah, I mean it does have some meaty stuff that it's just not, it, like you said, it's not equipped to deal with. The arc just comes to a stop. It just screeches to a halt and is like, okay, that's done now.
It starts screeches to a halt.
Yes.
Taking into account these are truncated half-length episodes, it's a decent run of how long this story should go. Starscream running a death cult.
Yeah.
Because it's like, you don't want to dwell on that for very long. It's very spicy. But like, I would like it fleshed out a little bit more.
The next to last episode of the arc did not need to be Jetfire and Skybite.
No, but I do like how it introduced, oh, this is how we find out where Starscream's base is, because he's super-powered two dudes there.
I guess. It's fine.
Yeah.
It's fine.
All right. So that will do us then for this week. We'll be back next week with more Cyberverse action and or possibly more Gundam action, depending on whether the time has come for another episode of our giant robot sideshow superhuman samurai cyberpod.
Well, depending upon how Christmas works, either we'll have another stasis pod regular episode.
Well, every year on December 25th.
Or I'm going to be editing a filler episode we previously recorded to throw.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, because...
We'll see how things go.
Oh, yeah, because... Yeah, Christmas is...
Christmas on a Thursday this year.
Yeah. Yeah, we might be busy the weekend. Well, no, whatever.
Post-Christmas weekend, yeah.
Stuff will come out. We forgot to mention Lost Media Week.
Yes.
I don't know. I'm not sure if it was me or Jen. I thought I uploaded it. Maybe I didn't. We misnumbered episodes. I had fully edited the damn thing. We just didn't post the fucking thing.
Oh.
I didn't realize until 2 weeks later when Jen said the numbering was off. I was like, no, the numbering's right. It's like, oh, fuck, we missed an episode. So we accidentally did a Lost Media and uncovered it.
Yes.
Oh, hey, and speaking of Lost Media, that segues perfectly into our Patreon special this month, which is the Micronauts Christmas special.
Yes.
It's a show that exists only in the ether of the internet, despite being very good. And, of course, we'll all be there.
Made.
With the internet's chief Micronauts evangelist, Jen, leading the way.
It's me. I've watched the series twice now. I'm taking a break now. Maybe I'll go back to it after I watch Gravity Falls for the first time.
Oh, yeah. Well, presuming that you and some other people have watched it twice, still, this episode has 5,000 views on YouTube.
Good.
Which is theoretically, like, at least 2,000 people have seen it. Seen this show.
Yes.
Yeah, if only they'd, I don't know, released it on some sort of, you know, channel or streaming service or something.
Yeah.
I think more people could have seen it.
And of course, I will have a special Christmas surprise for my co-hosts. And let's just say they won't enjoy what I've done.
No. Oh, no. No.
Is that a song reference?
David never knows if it's a song reference.
Billie Eilish? Question mark?
Oh, my God. Okay. I'm going to preemptively declare Jen the winner, but we will see how this goes.
What? Okay. Shit.
So until next time, I'm Rob.
I'm Jen.
I'm gonna go watch The Lake of Dracula.
Ooh. A whole lake?
Yes, he owns a lake in Japan.
I mean, he owns a lot of real estate, as we've established.
I'm David. Yes, he does. In the Castlevania series, we know that.
All right.
We'll be right back.